So it's just after 4 o'clock and the gym here is pretty busy. There's people on the treadmills over there and the free weight section is filling up. There's 8 or 9 people who are lifting weights. They're not bodybuilders, most of them aren't anyway. They're lads who just want to look good on a night out. Now, it doesn't get talked about, but the odds are one of them could be taking steroids.
If it didn't used to be magazines with just pictures of men with well-defined abs on the cover, you just didn't have those things.
It's everywhere. It's just knowing who to speak to, and you know, you ask a few questions, it's readily available. You know,
see a stacked young lad coming in and he's talking about his mental health, first question I tend to ask is, are you using steroids? People are quite open about it. It does seem very normalised to them.
We still get intravenous drug users who pretend our best savers, but also the increase is with steroid users, performance enhancing drugs.
The number of young men on Merseyside turning to steroids is rising. We've uncovered that more steroid users are now visiting needle exchanges than heroin users. Experts I've spoken to reckon around 2,000 people in the Liverpool City region are regular users, though it's likely that the real figure is much, much higher. But this is a world that's cloaked in secrecy and people just don't like to talk about it. I'm on my way now to meet one man who will.
Need for needles.
For me, I'd always looked up to, like, you know, people that you see on television, like growing up watching Gladiators and things like that. You see like big muscular fellas. I suppose that's the kind of image that I wanted for myself, I guess.
This is Chris Wright. He's a successful personal trainer on the Wirral. He'd never touched steroids now, but it wasn't always like that.
Between the ages of like 19 and 21 was the time when I'd sort of dabbled with steroids. And like I say, I didn't get serious until a few years later. It was more the fact that, I guess, my training, I always wanted to be bigger, but didn't necessarily know how. I didn't know about the nutrition side of things, didn't know about the training. You hear of, you know, people, when you start training, start asking about, like, steroids and stuff like that, and it gets talked about. And then before you know it, I'd kind of, like, bought this little bag of tablets, oral steroids, which then turned out to be Dianabol.
It was that easy?
Yeah, it's like, it's everywhere. It's just knowing who to speak to, and, you know, you ask a few questions, it's readily available, you know. It wasn't until probably maybe about the age of 20, 21, when I started taking injectable steroids then. And then I ended up going to this house that wasn't exactly sanitary and it wasn't exactly hygienic. And basically someone else did it for me. It was strange, but I still carried on doing it. I used to wait until I was living at home with my parents then. And then I used to do it every Monday. You know, when I knew my mum would be out the house, and I'd do it then. And I had like a stash of like a shoebox full of steroids and like a yellow Sharps bin in the bottom of my wardrobe, buried underneath some clothes. What stopped me from carrying on with it, really, was my mum found the Sharps bin, and she found, like, a load of used needles, and she found, like, the vials of testosterone and anthase it was, and the Dianabol tablets, because I was doing both at the time then. And, yeah, she was horrified, and that hurt me to see that. That really hurt to see her so upset and mortified, and she kind of, I think because she didn't realise what the tablets were, I think she thought that I was like selling drugs. I think she thought they were like ecstasy tablets because they were almost like a violet coloured heart shaped pill. And I think she thought I was selling drugs or something like that. Yeah, it's quite a dark period of my life, I guess. And it wasn't really the best time to be making them kind of decisions.
So what is making teenagers turn to steroids? Nearly 20,000 more across the country in the last year, according to government data. Well, one man with some of the answers is Jim McVeigh. He's the director of the Public Health Institute at Liverpool John Moores University.
In the city itself, you're probably looking at any one time there's 1,000 steroid users. This may be considerably higher. And if you're looking at the city region, we're looking at several thousand. What we're seeing now is a much more diverse population of use. Certainly the biggest group there are people who are using because they want to look a certain way. They want either more muscle mass or better definition, to shed some fat, to have a stereotypical well-defined muscular physique. It didn't used to be magazines with just pictures of men with well-defined abs on the cover. You just didn't have those things. You didn't have advertising to the same extent. Now it's any programme on television, unless there's a specific point that they want to make, that this man does not conform to a body image, like they're very thin or they're overweight, the chances are they will have a very good physique.
Well, Jim told me that most people are still getting their drugs from friends or someone at their gym, but a growing number are turning to the internet. Now, if I just punch in "buy steroids UK" on my laptop, it throws up tens of thousands of sites apparently selling them. Many are based here in the UK, where it's illegal to sell steroids. I wanted a second opinion on some of the products available, so I took my findings to Wirral GP Dr. Kieran Gray.
All of these injectable things for like £8.
Wow.
Course of things for 60. I mean, what's nandrolone for 68 quid? I mean, is that a substance that you know?
I've heard of it. It's an anabolic steroid, which are all sort of based upon the body's normal male steroids, and they're synthetic versions of those. And again, there's a few testosterone ones there, nandrolone. They're all very similar in the effect they have.
But I mean, £5.
Sustanon, that's a drug that we use for low testosterone in adult males.
And what are some potential pitfalls of someone taking that when they shouldn't be taking that?
I mean, I suppose there's the, if someone's got low levels and you can monitor those and you're giving them the right amount, that can be entirely safe to restore them to normal levels. I think the problem is these people don't use them at normal levels, do they? They're boosting their testosterone to levels that would not be found in a normal adult who hasn't got problems. See a stacked young lad coming in and he's talking about his mental health. First question I tend to ask is, are you using steroids? People are quite open about it. It does seem very normalised to them. I think over the last couple of years I've seen a rise in younger men taking them. I think when I was working in slightly more deprived areas, it was more men in their sort of late 20s, early 30s, maybe trying to hold on to a youthful physique. Now it seems to be people sort of under 20. I think young men are probably vainer these days than they were 20 years ago, and are happier to do things to alter their physique and their appearance. I've had a few people in with relationship problems, and when you touch on it, there's quite a lot of anger there, or quite a bit of depression, and it's very hard to treat unless you get to the cause. And if the cause is that you're injecting something that triggers all of these, and without removing that, they're not going to fix it.
This indicates that somebody is for a syringe exchange.
I've been granted exclusive access to a needle exchange in Birkenhead run by Wirral Ways to Recovery.
If you only attend our syringe exchange, it could be a first visit, second visit. We take the person's initials, date of birth, identify what substance that individual is using, so the correct harm reduction advice is given to that individual. If the person attends our service and discloses to us that they are using performance enhancing drugs, we will ask them what drug they're using, what their injecting technique. That identifies what previous advice that individual has been given.
This is Julie Murphy, who offers help and advice on keeping users safe.
For this particular hub, we have about 200 people a month.
200
people a month who attend this particular hub. So that just says what good service we provide. And some of that service has been word of mouth as well.
It's 2,000 exchanges.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, so it may be the same person coming back again.
Yeah.
But around 200 people, 200 people a month, and how many of those would you say were exclusively steroid users?
I'd say more, I'd say probably maybe 70% around was like the steroid users as well. We've had like cage fighters, bodybuilders, you know, people in competitions, and then you might see them again like the following year or when they're on another cycle again. So it's that, you know, constant reinforcing, like the harm reduction model.
So Wirral Ways to Recovery are working flat out to keep users as safe as possible, but they're only there for people who are already taking steroids. I wanted to know from a legal point of view if anything's being done to stem the tide. Our exclusive figures have revealed here on Merseyside, police only made 6 arrests for selling steroids in the last 3 years. Is this just an anomaly? Are steroid dealers operating in a different way to dealers of traditional drugs like cocaine and heroin? Or are steroids just not a priority for Merseyside Police? I've put those questions to our Police and Crime Commissioner, Jane Kennedy.
I'm not sure, because I don't know what the factual background is. I would be really interested in any evidence that you might have discovered that demonstrate that we are beginning to have a problem here. We may have had a problem for some time. It's not one that I've identified before, but it is one that if we can show that there is a problem, I would want to discuss with the police. The police will be interested in any criminal aspect of it, because they will want to prosecute and they will want to prevent. You'll want to encourage public health, for example, to get involved in campaigns to inform young people about the dangers of persistent steroid use. And we can't do that until we've got a picture of what is actually happening. And any evidence you could bring to that as a part of your work would be really helpful.
And if you've been affected by anything you've heard or simply want to know more, I've put a list and details of everyone I've spoken to on the news pages of our website. Just search the hashtag #NeedForNeedles.